Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, if you've been watching some of the religious news recently, following on Twitter and other places, you know that there's a couple of the conventions are going on. The Southern Baptist Convention just wrapped up this week, and I think the PCA is out at their convention as well right now. I think theirs is in, I think it was Raleigh that they're in, and the other one, the SBC, was out in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, there was an event that took place towards the end of the SBC convention, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit on the program today. Now, I pastor a non-denominational church, and so it's kind of nice at this time of year when they go through these conventions and the controversy comes out. It's a good place to be. The Baptists think that I'm Presbyterian, and the Presbyterian thinks that I'm Baptist. And so it's just kind of a nice place to be at this time of year. And so anyways, let me tell you what this article says, and then let's talk through this a little bit. This was printed in The Atlantic, and in theatlantic.com, I'm trying to think of exactly the right way for me to go about doing this, but in theatlantic.com, to start with, there was an article that came out the other day. This was on June 14th, so this was yesterday, and the title of the article says this: a resolution condemning white supremacy causes chaos at the Southern Baptist Convention. So this is the way it's being, you know, portrayed and so forth. So we're talking chaos is going on at the convention, right? And so the subtitle then says, at its annual meeting, the evangelical denomination initially declined to consider a statement of its opposition to the alt-right. So already we see the two terms have been used here. One was white supremacy in the headline, but now a new term has been introduced here, and the new term that's been introduced is alt-right. And then the article goes on from there to describe what had taken place at the convention. Now, I'm a little bit torn because I wanted you to also hear what the Southern Baptist ethical wing, you know, of the ethical arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, what their statement is on what alt-right means. There was an article printed again on the 14th, just yesterday, by Joe Carter. He's got out at the Gospel Coalition, and Joe is an editor for the Gospel Coalition. He's also a he serves on the board there, I think, with the ERLC, so the Ethics and Religious Liberty, what's the C there?
Commission
with the Southern Baptist Convention. And so anyways, he talks in there, his article was called What Christians Should Know About the Alt-Right. So there's these two articles that I want to talk about quickly and then make some comments about them. Let me read the first one to you to get like kind of an outside look at what was taking place and the way that it was reported in theatlantic.com. Here's what it says. Leaders from the Southern Baptist Convention were divided over a resolution affirming the denomination's opposition to white supremacy and the alt-right during their annual meeting in Phoenix this week. On Tuesday, they initially declined to consider the proposal submitted by a prominent black pastor in Texas, Dwight McKissick, M-C-K-I-S-S-I-C, I think it's McKissick, and only changed course after a significant backlash. On Wednesday afternoon, the body passed a revised statement condemning the alt-right, but the drama over the resolution revealed deep tension lines within the denomination that was explicitly founded to support slavery. Wow, that's quite a statement there at the end, saying that it was explicitly founded for that reason, the SBC was. It goes on in the article then to say this: a few weeks before the meeting was slated to start, McKissick published his draft resolution on a popular Southern Baptist blog called SBC Voices. The language was strong and pointed. It affirmed that, quote, "There has arisen in the United States a growing menace to political order and justice that seeks to reignite social animosities, reverse improvements in race relations, divide our people, and foment hatred, classism, and ethnic cleansing," unquote. It identified this, quote, "toxic menace," unquote, as white nationalism. So now we got a third term that is introduced here. We had white supremacy, now we have white nationalism, and we have the term alt-right that is being used here as well. ALT-RIGHT, alt-right, like alternative right-wing or something like that. Think of that. And urged the denomination to oppose its, quote, "totalitarian impulses, xenophobic biases, and bigoted idolatries that infect the minds and the actions of its violent disciples," unquote. This is continuing on with quotes from McKissick's draft of the resolution that he put forward. It claimed that the origin of white supremacy in Christian communities is a once popular theory known as the Curse of Ham, which taught that God, through Noah, ordained descendants of Africa to be subservient to Anglos, and was used, and all of that is in quotes, by the way, so I don't know, it might be coming from McKissick's statement there as well, and was used to as a justification for slavery and segregation. The resolution called on the denomination to denounce nationalism and, quote, "reject the retrograde ideologies, xenophobic biases, racial bigotries of the so-called alt-right, and to seek to subvert our government, destabilize society, and infect our political system," unquote. Submitting the proposal was just the first step, though. Every resolution up for consideration has to pass through a committee, which chooses whether or not proposals will be heard by the full meeting, and the resolution committee decided not to move McKissick's proposal forward. So they looked at what he said there, and they said this is not something that we're going to bring out to the full floor for whatever reason. We're not told why they decided to do that, but I imagine, you know, that in my view, I would imagine that because of the various terms, the loaded terms that are used in this, and they decided not to bring it out onto the floor. So it goes forward here then in the article, and this is by Barrett Duke, a quote from him, giving some of the reason as to why they didn't. He said, "We are very aware that on this issue, feelings rightly run high regarding alt-right ideology," said Barrett Duke, the head of the Resolutions Committee, in an interview on Wednesday morning. Quote, "We share those feelings. We just weren't certain we could craft a resolution that would enable us to measure our strong convictions with the grace of love, which were also commended by Jesus to incorporate," unquote. The Resolutions Committee did not reach out to McKissick ahead of the meeting to work on a revised revision of the resolution, Duke said. Southern Baptist leaders sat through a long series of meetings on Tuesday afternoon. They affirmed a number of standard proposals about their belief and practices, and even approved a resolution calling for moral character in public officials, a nearly exact replica of a resolution passed during the Clinton years at the height of the Monica Lewinsky scandal. The not-so-veiled jab at President Trump went through quietly despite conflicts in the denomination over the election. The peace, though, was short-lived. Chaos soon broke out over the McKissick resolution. The resolution committee decided not to hear the proposal. Delegates can introduce a motion for reconsideration from the floor. Late on Tuesday afternoon, McKissick went to the mic and moved for additional time to be allotted for the resolution to be heard. Standing among a chattering body of tired pastors, many of whom were already checked out for the day and didn't realize what was happening, the motion failed. Once again, the resolution would not be heard. Now, keep that in mind when he says here that the pastors, you know, they weren't paying any attention. They were tired. When he says they were checked out, I don't know if he means like checked out of their hotel room and ready to leave, or if he means they were kind of checked out since they were talking among themselves in the sense of, you know, they're not really paying any attention to what's going on in the meeting and so forth. And the article goes on to say, while all this was going on, when they didn't bring up his resolution again, then the article puts it this way. All hell broke loose. The amount of work left to do in evangelical, who knows what that word means anymore, the evangelical church is staggering, tweeted Tabiti Anyabuile, a black southern pastor who was not at the meeting. Quote, here's the largest failing publicly. And then he goes on to make another statement. So if you don't know who Tabiti Anyabuile is, I had Tabiti on many years ago when he was just writing about the gospel. Unfortunately, he diverted later on here, most recently, into very progressive Christian left type of political stances and so forth. He was advocating strongly that people vote for Hillary Clinton that Christians vote for Hillary Clinton before the election. So I used to, you know, really appreciate what Tabiti talked about and so forth, but I don't know where he's going on some of these latest things. Here's what he said in his blog post about this issue. We must be clear, we live in a time when equivocating on these matters furthers the sin of racism, even to violence and death. Any church that cannot denounce white supremacy without hesitancy and equivocation is dead. Jesus denying assembly, no two ways about it. And then he goes on to say, I'm done. I don't know what this means. But he says, I'm done with this Twitter spiel, with evangelicalism, in quotes, with all the racist and indifferent nonsense that passes as Christian. And again, Christian is in quotes in that passage. So it goes on in the article to talk about that the wording was eventually changed. And once the wording was slightly altered, then the resolution was brought up again. And and because of all the backlash and everything that took place in the media, where people were then saying the SBC cannot bring themselves to vote against white supremacy, the SBC had to show everybody that they weren't bigoted, they weren't xenophobic, they weren't endorsing white supremacy, and so they passed this resolution that took place here. Well, now let's go just very briefly here to the facts, it says, on the Gospel Coalition, Joe Carter, what Christians should know about the alt-right. Well, he starts off here. Earlier today, the Southern Baptist Convention adopted a resolution condemning the movement known as the alt-right. And then it goes on and it actually gives the resolution. I hope I have time to read this and still make some comments. Let me go a little bit here. It says, whereas racism and white supremacy are sadly but not extinct from present, but present all over the world in various white supremacist movements, sometimes known as white nationalism or alt-right now. Therefore, it is resolved that the messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Phoenix decry every form of racism, including alt-white, white supremacy, as antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and be it further resolved that we denounce and repudiate white supremacy and every form of racial and ethnic hatred as of the devil, and be it further resolved that we acknowledge that we still must make progress in rooting out any remaining forms of intentional or unintentional racism in our midst, and be it further resolved that we earnestly pray both for those who advocate racist ideologies and those who are thereby deceived, that they may see their errors through the light of the gospel, repent of those hatreds, and come to know the peace and the love of Christ through redeemed fellowship in the kingdom of God, which is established in every nation, tribe, people, and language. So there's the actual resolution itself. Now, it goes on to say the resolution initially caused confusion because many Baptists, like most other Americans, are not familiar with the movement. A majority of U.S. adults, 54%, say they never heard. That means nothing at all is the option that they selected. They never heard nothing at all about the alt-right movement. And another 28% said they had only heard a little bit about it. Now, we're talking then, if my math doesn't fail me at this point, what is that, 82% of the people interviewed said they know little or nothing at all about what alt-right movement is. Here's my question. Why would you then have a resolution to condemn the alt-right? If 82% of Americans have no clue what alt-right even is, why then would you specifically on the last day of the convention bring forth a resolution that is using this terminology of alt-right? Why not just say, as they have said almost every year for the last, I don't know how many years that they've been meeting here recently, why don't you just say a statement about being against racism in all of its forms? If you went out and you asked people, I asked this question of this resolution, is there a resolution against Black Lives Matter? If you took a microphone out on the street and you asked people, well, we already know, 80-some% wouldn't even know what you're talking about. Ask them what is alt-right. 80-some% are going to say, I have no clue. If you did ask those same people, what about Black Lives Matter? What do you know about that? I think a lot of people would know, you know, the type of racism that was involved in there. Why not, if you're looking for a certain type of, zero in on a certain type of racism, why would you go towards this one, the alt-right that nobody knows anything about, versus something like Black Lives Matter? Now, I hope that there was a resolution against it. I don't know of one, but if there was one, then I commend them for doing it. But you see what I'm saying? So the question in my mind is, what's going on here? Why the alt-right? Why are they using this terminology? Why has this become an issue? Well, as you read on further down through a very lengthy and kind of contorted explanation of what alt-right is, all these different people you've never heard of on websites and blogs that you've never heard of and so forth. But in the very end of it, lo and behold, guess who is attached to being alt-right? Let me read this statement to you in an article. Spencer is listed as an alt-right intellectual. A few months ago, Steve Bannon, who ran Breitbart before becoming CEO of the Trump campaign, bragged that Breitbart News was the platform for the alt-right. So now there's a connection made in this definition of alt-right to the Trump administration. So it just makes it very suspect, right? It makes it so that when you read this, you say, why, what? What are you doing? A resolution against alt-right, and then you're blending in all of these terms, white supremacy with, white, it goes on in this, our white identity, alt-right conservatism, conservative Christians and what they think about them, nationalism. You know, notice it talks about xenophobia, which, again, would impinge upon, you know, your view of the immigration issue, and anybody who stands against, you know, a firmer stand on immigration and, you know, borders and a wall and things like that. They're always called to be, they're spoken to be xenophobes, you know, that you hate any foreigners and these types of things. What I'm saying is that these types of terms are loaded. You know, they have all kinds of ramifications associated with them. Why would you bring in this type of terminology into it? If you want to do something against racism directly, if you really feel that, you know, racism is the issue and needs to be dealt with, then call it racism. Just say, let's have a resolution against racism, which they did. Last year they had a resolution saying that there people shouldn't show the flag, the Confederate flag. So they had one then. And then, of course, you know, they had to take the flags down. And now we got monuments being taken down and so forth. The SBC wasn't there. They probably commended it, but they weren't the people who did that. But you have statements and resolutions about apologizing for any sort of racial roots in the SBC a couple years before that. You know, so this has been done every year on this. But in this particular case, what do we find? They come out with this alt-right one, a very complicated. This, in my view, this is what this is. The alt-right resolution was a very complicated but clever way to throw a bone to the PC cultural elites, who some in the SBC seem all too eager to please, and it was a backhand to those in the SBC who dared to vote for Donald Trump over the objections of Russell Moore. Now, you say, Trump, you know, how is he tied into this? Well, just how I said, it, in their definition of what alt-right is, it's tied all the way back to Banyan, who Banyan then is tied to Trump. Now, in doing this, in this way, I think the ERC and has actually, ERLC, has actually done little or nothing to reduce racism, but what they have done is they have actually increased the division within the SBC. I think that a lot of the messengers then are going to feel like they were manipulated. You know, that you put up one thing as being against it, and then, you know, you use all these other... it's kind of like a bait and switch. You know, you hold up one thing and said, certainly you guys are all against this, but in saying that you're against this, you're then manipulated into saying that we're all against something else as well. Things that the messengers may not have been against. Parts of it, like the, you know, parts related to immigration or all of these other pieces are big discussions. That you can't get them in sound bites. You can't get it on, you know, 40 characters on Twitter. You have to talk through these things and take them apart and look at them. And so I think it was, I just don't like the way that it was done. And I think that it was, there was some manipulation here that was done in the way that it was done. By their own admission in this, they said, you know, in that article that I read, you know, half of the messengers that were there, he said, were checked out. You know, they weren't even paying attention. And now suddenly they're going to have to be up to speed on what alt-right means and all of these different nuances of it. Read that piece by Joe Carter and you'll see exactly what I mean. I've read it through a number of times and I still couldn't tell you, give you a good definition of exactly everything that is meant when people use the term alt-right. That is there. It has connotations to it, is what I'm saying, right? And I think that some of those connotations may be things that people didn't understand what they were voting for. And in that way, I think the messengers may have been manipulated by this type of vote. Well, there's my two cents on it. That said, let me just say, obviously, every Christian, there is no place in the Christian life for any sort of racism. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. Remember that.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.